In terms of the other side, the cardiac safety, which you talked about, there's so much data out there, I think, for clinicians, and they're all, you know, some different measurements, different ways they were evaluated. When you put it all together and you go in to talk to a patient, how would you explain it to a patient in terms of cardiac risk with an anthracycline, you know, trastuzumab approach versus a TCH or non-anthracycline approach? What would you say to a patient?
I would tell them that there is a risk of cardiac toxicity. I would probably give them a qualitative sense that there is less cardiotoxicity without an anthracycline. I'd have to give them numerical estimates of this, that it's in the 1% to 2% range for non-anthracycline, and with an anthracycline, it's going to go up to somewhere around 3% to 4%. I would also need to tell them what the meaning of all of this is, that most of them do recover. And by the way, I think I should amplify on that a little bit. The ejection fractions do recover in most patients. However, if you look at the data, especially the detailed data that was published from the NSABP safety results and the JCO, a lot of those patients are still on cardiac meds, and I think that is something to keep in mind. But nevertheless, I would tell the patient that even though it is reversible, that one has to weigh into account the risks of recurrence and make an educated risk-benefit analysis. So I think we have to give them not only a qualitative sense of the cardiac problems, but what we know quantitatively and what we know about the natural history and the resolution of these.
And I think this plays out a lot more in terms of the patient with a node-negative tumor. How do you approach those patients in terms of deciding about trastuzumab?
Again, it's all about risk-benefit ratios, and I think you have to make the calculations. And you can make rough calculations, or you can go onto the websites where more detailed or perhaps accurate estimations can be made. But basically, you need to calculate what the risk of recurrence is and to what extent you're going to lower this by chemotherapy or possibly hormonal therapy, and then what the residual risk is. And at the current time, it looks as though you would take that risk and divide it in half, because the odds reduction are about 50% with all of the trastuzumab trials, and then calculate that as the benefit for the patient. And in my mind, I think that you want to see a recurrence risk that's at least 3 to 4, maybe 5% absolute difference at, say, 3 years. And that's about all the data we have now. We just don't have long follow-up. But in my mind, you at least want to beat that. And if you're in that range, then I think the benefit outweighs the risks in terms of cardiotoxicity. Now, I think you can refine that, too. We do know that there's a strong suggestion that age and baseline cardiac ejection fraction do predict the absolute risk of cardiac problems. So that needs to be factored in as well. So you really need to estimate both the risk and the benefit.
Can you talk more specifically about age in terms of what age you're talking about and what ejection fraction?
Well, these cutoffs are arbitrary, but the NSABP has a detailed breakdown by age, and they broke it down into age 50 to 60, under 50, and then 60 to 70, or really above 60. And they broke down the baseline cardiac ejection fraction from 50, which was the minimum to get in, and then different points above that, which I believe were 55 and 60. It was clear that both of those factors independently predicted the risk of cardiac toxicity. So the post-AC cardiac ejection fraction as well as the age. And the cardiac toxicity rate was getting pretty high, above 10% if you take the lower ejection fraction and the higher age group.